As we've reported before, areas on and around a number of active and closed military bases in this state and throughout the nation are contaminated with a family of chemicals commonly called PFAS. It's connected to firefighting training using a foam containing a PFAS chemical. The Department of Defense has been monitoring the contamination and coming up with plans to help clean up that contamination. It should be noted, though, those plans have not been fully implemented, if there's been any work at all at some bases. Now, reporting by Politico finds that the Department of Defense sought to hire a scientist who was blocked from a position at the Environmental Protection Agency by lawmakers. They say the controversial findings of the scientist downplayed the risk of PFAS chemicals. Joining me now is the Politico reporter who covered that story, Andy Snyder. Welcome.
Good to be here.
So who is this scientist?
So this is a man named Michael Dorfin. He is well known among industry and public health advocates. He has for years been the go-to science for industry when they've wanted to show that a chemical is less dangerous than public health advocates and academics have been concerned about.
You reported that this goes clear back to the Teflon situation several years ago. Could you explain about that?
Absolutely. So Dorfin was recommended by DuPont when the state of West Virginia was trying to figure out what to do about contamination in its area. So as your listeners may know, the state of West Virginia grappled with PFAS issues before many other states did. There was a DuPont facility in Parkersburg, West Virginia, that had major contamination of PFOA there. And it was becoming a concern. The state said, gosh, we need to come up with some sort of idea for what the drinking water limit ought to be. And they decided to convene a panel. And DuPont recommended that Michael Dorfin be the one to convene the panel. That's something that his outfit called TARA, the Toxicology Excellence for Risk Assessment, the name of his group. His group often convenes these panels that are described as being independent, although he is often the chairman of these panels, and public health advocates argue that they are not so independent. But they often convene these types of panels, and so the state of West Virginia turned to Dorfin's group to convene a panel, and what they ended up recommending was a limit of 150 parts per billion at the time. This was in the early 2000s. And at the same time, DuPont's internal limit was one part per billion. So the limit that was recommended for the state of West Virginia was 150 times higher than the company's own internal limit for exposure for its workers. And so that was one of the instances of Dorfin's past work that was of great concern when the Trump administration nominated him to lead EPA's Chemical Safety Office.
Now, of course, the limits are the guidelines by the EPA are something like 70 parts per trillion.
Yes, an order of magnitude smaller.
So who at the Department of Defense proposed to have this guy work on the PFAS issue for the DOD?
Yeah, so this is a little bit complicated. So as you all in Michigan are probably aware, a number of states are moving forward trying to figure out what to do about these chemicals as the federal government has been slow to act. And so the state of Kansas has military bases there and is in the early process of trying to figure out, you know, do we need to do something about these? There's, you know, EPA monitoring data from a few years ago that shows that there were some contaminations, some drinking water supplies that were impacted by PFOA and PFOS there. And so the state is saying, you know, do we need to be doing greater monitoring? If so, how do we go about this? Which chemicals do we need to be looking for? So they're in the very early stages, and they decided to convene an advisory group of, there's an environmentalist on it, there's an industry representative on it, but there's a lot of federal folks on it, including a couple of representatives of the Defense Department, given, of course, that one of the major sources of contamination is the Defense Department. And so under sort of the auspices of this group, one of the regional Defense Department representatives went to the head of the Kansas Water Bureau, who's leading this group, and said, ask the state to request a review of the chemicals. And so it's a little bit complicated, but the email that I was able to obtain under Kansas's open records law shows that the Defense Department had already cited that they wanted to hire Michael Dorfin to do a review of these chemicals and was asking the state of Kansas to basically ask the Defense Department to do it, to say, you know, so that it would be the state of Kansas requesting this review as opposed to the Defense Department sort of deciding to do it on their own.
So this sets up a scenario that lawmakers have been worried about. Are they worried the Department of Defense is merely thinking about using old corporate approaches to try to cast doubt on existing science by using some outlier?
Absolutely. There is great concern. So I, when I got a hold of this email, I asked Senator Tom Carper of Delaware. He is the top Democrat on the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, which is the committee that considered Michael Dorson's nomination when he was nominated for EPA. I asked him what he thought of this. And he said he was shocked. He said that it was, let's see if I can get the quote for you. It's as absurd as it is deeply troubling that despite his dangerous record on chemical safety, the Defense Department could be seeking to hire Michael Dorson for this drinking water project. So he was shocked and not happy about it.
I don't want to read too much into this, but here in Michigan, people living near the contaminated bases are wondering why the Department of Defense is not doing more, working more quickly to clean up the contamination. What's this latest revelation say about the DOD's cleanup efforts at its bases?
Yeah, so this latest revelation suggests that the Defense Department is not accepting the science that supports stringent cleanup requirements.
But this science comes from the federal government. I mean, we've got the ATSDR and the EPA both giving amounts, you know, that are not too far apart, 70 parts per trillion, 35 parts per trillion, and they're talking about something completely different.
Yeah, so this is a long time sort of industry approach has been to question the science and to say that we need further review. Critics argue that it is a delay tactic. So this is not something that is new. In fact, we've seen the Defense Department do this quite successfully with other contaminants. There's perchlorate, which was an ingredient in rocket fuel that had contaminated a number of military bases, particularly in the Southwest, that back in the early 90s, there was concern and a push for a federal drinking water standard. Today, in 2019, more than 20 years later, that standard has not been set despite court orders. And in fact, the deadline for doing so has been pushed back even further amid the shutdown. So the Defense Department has, in fact, been quite successful at pushing off these types of drinking water requirements.
Annie Snyder reports for Politico. Nice reporting. Thanks.
Thank you.
And by the way, as far as we know, the Department of Defense has not hired Michael Dorson at this point.